Good morning.
Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church, Hoyleton, Illinois.
Enjoy your service.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and welcome to those of you watching this at home. We have now made it to 50 days after Easter, which means for us today is the day of Pentecost. So you see the red up here on my stole and up here on our altar. Today's a Holy Spirit day. You notice that in the first hymn that we've already sang. Every day that we gather together as God's people is a day that we're celebrating Easter and the resurrection of Christ. But today on the day of Pentecost specifically, we are talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, giving birth to the church, being our helper, being our comforter, and leading us to Christ. And that's really what the Holy Spirit does best. And so that's what we're going to be celebrating today. And we're so thankful that you're here. Also, just before our worship today, we had our confirmation reunion for those who are celebrating special anniversary years in their confirmation class. And I know a few of them have stuck around for worship, so welcome to all of you as well. So today for our worship, we are going to be following Divine Service Setting 3. And you will find that beginning on page 184. And I invite you to stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and instead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to the introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of your bulletin. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. These all look to you. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the day of Pentecost is from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gradual is found printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. We will speak that responsibly. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. With the heart, one believes and is justified. Our second reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father. But the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Now, having heard the word of God, we will join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. And this morning, we will confess the Nicene Creed together. We confess, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. For our sermon hymn today, we're going to do something a little different. Well, since it's a red Sunday, we thought we'd go back to our red hymnal for the sermon hymn today. So there is a hymn printed for you on the back cover of your bulletin. It's called Come Holy Ghost in Love. It's one of the hymns that didn't make it into the new hymnal, but it's a wonderful Pentecost hymn, and so we'll be singing that from the Lutheran hymnal number 227, Come Holy Ghost in Love. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the second reading, the Pentecost reading, the long one from Acts chapter 2, which describes for us what happened when the Holy Spirit came and fulfilled the promise that Jesus makes to the disciples in the gospel reading, in John's gospel, that he would send a helper to them. And a lot of times we think about this, we think about what happened that day, but when we consider the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, yes, of course, we celebrate the Holy Spirit, but a lot of times it's kind of hard for us to define exactly who the Spirit is or exactly what the Spirit does. And sometimes that might make us just a little bit uncomfortable. But what we need to know more than anything else is that the Spirit is the one who brings us to Christ. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's interesting to me how sometimes fear can go sort of hand in hand with knowledge or experience. And it kind of works both ways. So, for example, we could say in some cases, and not too many, but in some cases, the more we learn about a thing, the scarier it might become, or the more cautious we might be. So here's an example from this week with Max. So the other day, Max was playing with a ball outside. We actually weren't home. We were at a friend's house, and we were outside in the front, and their driveway kind of slopes down toward the road. So, you know, we're just out there kind of chatting. Max is playing with the ball, and of course, I look up. There goes the ball rolling down toward the road. There goes Max running after the ball towards the road. So then there goes me running towards both of them, trying to keep them trying to keep Max out of danger. See, Max is too young to really know and understand what the problem is with chasing a ball that direction. He doesn't have the fear yet. And Zach was like that at his age too. Max just doesn't understand the danger of playing close to the road. So for me, having grown up, being a parent, I am a little bit more nervous than my children are about certain things. Because in some cases, like I say, more knowledge can lead to more fear. But I would say it's probably more common that the opposite is true, where the more you know about something, the less scary it can become. So another example involving Max is that Max is probably one of the only kids I know who is afraid of the car wash. I think most kids love the car wash. It seems to me like, you know, it's really cool. I remember loving it, the magical, you know, soapy tunnel, right? Where, you know, you just get to see all these cool things that you don't normally get to see. And if you get the tri-foam, it's kind of colorful, right? So it makes everything look really cool, right? But Max hates it. He's like, it's like deathly afraid of it. I think what it is a lot of it has to do with the sound, you know, the water spraying up against the car and that kind of creepy robot arm looking thing that shoots everything out at you, you know? But it's not even just like he's back there kind of whimpering. Like, it's like he's fully on wailing and crying to the point where we know, Katie and I know, if we have to bring the car to the car wash, we need to strategically plan it out so that Max isn't with us. I mean, it's that bad, right? But of course, he's only two. Eventually, he's going to learn that the car wash can't hurt him, the scary noises, the scary sights there, it can't hurt him. Eventually, he'll probably learn to love it. Just like all of us go through that, right, with the irrational fears that we have at some point in our life, especially when we're little. Zoe used to be afraid of the vacuum. Zach's been afraid of dogs forever. Not as bad as it used to be, but it's still there. Well, and that's not necessarily an irrational fear, I mean, depending on the kind of dog, but you know what I'm saying. I was thinking about this last week, because last week was Memorial Day weekend, and I remember that I used to be afraid, like deathly afraid, of 21-gun salutes. In my hometown, on Memorial Day, there's always a ceremony with a 21-gun salute in the park. My house was really close to the park growing up. So I remember it was so loud, and I was so scared of it. I would close my eyes, and I would cover my ears, and I would hold on to my mom real tight sometimes, just really nervous about the 21-gun salute. Well, now that I'm older, and I understand that I'm not going to get hurt by it, that I understand the tradition, the history, the ceremony of the whole thing, it's something I look forward to now. Whenever I'm blessed to have an opportunity as a pastor to officiate at a graveside committal of a military veteran, they do the 21-gun salute, I really look forward to that. I cherish that now. I'm able to experience it now with more knowledge in a way that I never could have back then. So in that case, more knowledge, more experience takes away some of that fear. Now, the reason why I bring any of this up is because today we're focusing on something that sounds kind of scary, because we're talking a lot about a ghost. And some of you probably noticed that I made a little Ghostbusters reference in the bulletin, the title for the sermon today, Ain't Afraid of No Holy Ghost. We're talking about the Holy Ghost, of course, since this is the day of Pentecost. And obviously we know that the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, is not some creepy Halloween ghost that's going to haunt you and say, boo, right? It's nothing like that. But what I have noticed a little bit over the years, especially among Lutherans, is that we probably discuss the Holy Spirit the least out of all three persons of the Holy Trinity. It seems like we just don't really know what to say. There's a certain amount of mystery about who the Holy Spirit is, and that might make us a little bit, well, scared is not probably the right word, but maybe at least a little bit uncomfortable talking about the Comforter. It seems a whole lot easier to talk about God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who created everything, the one who gives you all of these blessings in your life, blessings that are real and tangible and right in front of you, and you can understand them. That seems like it's very simple to talk about. And we love talking about God the Son, Jesus Christ, who's at the very center of our faith, the one who redeemed us with his blood, the one who sacrificed himself for you and for me. We feel like we can talk about the Son with anybody. If you came to church here on a Sunday morning and you left without hearing anything about God the Son, you'd be scratching your head. You'd probably think, I'm not coming back there again next week. We always talk about Christ, but we don't always discuss the Holy Spirit. How many of us feel like we have a really good grasp of what the Holy Spirit's role is in our lives? I think part of the problem is that the things that the Holy Spirit does are harder for us to observe, like physically see, right? So we confess that when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who's doing this conversion, changing a person's heart, creating faith within them. But we can't really watch in any physical way that process. We say that baptism is one of the great works of the Holy Spirit. And there, yes, you do have something you can see with your own eyes, right? You can see the water being poured upon the individual, the child or the adult who's being brought to baptism. But what you can't see is what's happening in the heart. You can't see the faith that gets sparked and created by that baptism. Only God can see that. Lutherans are very comfortable with things that are real and tangible and concrete. But so much of what the Holy Spirit does is abstract. And so, like I said before, that can make us a little uncomfortable sometimes. And you add to that the fact that it seems like so many other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in other Christian denominations seem so much more comfortable than we do as Lutherans talking about the Spirit. And they go on and on and on about the Spirit. They talk about feeling the Spirit or speaking with the Spirit, listening to the Spirit's voice to lead them and to guide them. You have some folks who insist that if you really have the Spirit dwelling within you, then you are going to completely lose control of yourself. You might even lose control of your body. You might start weeping uncontrollably. You might start speaking and babbling incoherently, and we call that speaking in tongues. The truth is, a lot of times when people claim that the Spirit told me to do this or the Spirit led me to do that, a lot of times what they might not realize is what they're hearing really isn't the Holy Spirit at all. A lot of times it's just this sinful desire they have in their own heart. They're convinced that it's the Spirit talking to them. Maybe it's actually the voice of Satan trying to lead them down the wrong path, trying to lead them down a path of destruction. Now, you want to talk about uncomfortable and scary. And that's what all of a sudden makes us say, well, I don't even want to discuss the Holy Spirit then. If I could go in that direction, that doesn't sound good to me at all. But it's really, really important that we don't avoid Holy Spirit talk. And it's really important that we celebrate the day of Pentecost like we're doing today. Because when we have an opportunity to see what the Holy Spirit actually does for us from the perspective of the Bible, of what Scripture says, we have absolutely nothing to feel uncomfortable or scared about at all. Look what's going on here in Acts chapter 2. And when the Holy Spirit comes on the scene here, yes, you do have some miraculous supernatural stuff going on, right? The tongues as of fire appearing on the disciples, and all of a sudden they can speak in languages that they had never known, or at least people are hearing them in other languages, in their own native tongues. This speaking in tongues that's going on here is not just a bunch of babbling incoherently, right? But the words that the disciples are saying, they are speaking very clearly and intelligibly, right? And so people, what they hear is really, really important. It's not just babbling. What are they talking about? They're proclaiming the works of God. They're talking about Jesus. This is what the Holy Spirit leads them to do, telling people about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is filling them with courage and joy and power so that when they speak to this giant crowd, 3,000 people, 3,000 people hear these words, hear the gospel for the very first time. They believe it. They repent. They are baptized. All because the Holy Spirit spoke through these disciples that day. He brought people to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings the Word of God to us. And He gives us opportunities then to share Jesus with others. The Holy Spirit is not going to be speaking to you where you're going to hear a voice in your head. But the Holy Spirit has promised to speak to you through God's means of grace, through the Scriptures, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper. If we're expecting the Holy Spirit to do things that He hasn't promised to do, if we're expecting the Spirit to give me goosebumps or to manipulate my emotions, for expecting the Spirit to be like a magic eight ball and make all my decisions for me, ultimately I'm going to be disappointed in the Holy Spirit and maybe even a little scared by the Holy Spirit, because that's not what the Spirit has promised to do. But if we recognize and believe that the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus, well, then there's no problem at all, because I know Jesus. And you know Jesus. We like talking about Jesus. And that scariness factor about the Holy Spirit then goes away. We can rest assured knowing that the true difference that the Holy Spirit makes in any of our lives is when He brings Christ crucified to us, and when He reminds us that our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And that forgiveness might not be something that you can actually see or observe, but it is real. And it is for you. And your ability to believe it and to trust in the God who makes these amazing promises to you comes only because of the work of the Holy Spirit. So we talk about the Holy Ghost. It's kind of like in the same category as the car wash or the 21-gun salute. Because the more we learn about the Holy Ghost, the more we experience what the Holy Ghost does, the more we meditate upon the work of the Holy Ghost bringing us to Christ, the more we can put those fears and those uncomfortable feelings aside. The more we talk about the Holy Spirit, the more we inevitably talk about Jesus. And I'm going to end with some familiar words here from the Catechism, because Martin Luther really understood this too. And in his explanation to the Creed, in the third article, when we talk about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, when you look at this explanation, it is all about Jesus. He says, the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. On the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me, and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. We sing together the offertory, which is found beginning on the bottom of page 192. Seated. And at this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. I just have one brief update for our prayer list today. We continue to pray for Norma Mashoff, and she's been living at the nursing home in Aviston. Ever since moving there, her health has been steadily declining, and I found out over the weekend they will be transitioning her into hospice care sometime soon, maybe even as early as this week. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, your Spirit fills the world and gladdens your church with the remembrance of all Christ Jesus has spoken. Comfort us with divine peace and do not let our hearts be troubled or afraid, Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as you once chose apostles to proclaim the resurrection, so open the mouths of your pastors and people to declare his praises to all who will hear. Bless all of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in Iuka, and their pastor, Aaron Kangas. And today, Lord, we also give you thanks and praise for calling Brett Jones into the office of the Holy Ministry and to serve as the pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Hoffman. Bless him as he is ordained and installed this afternoon, and be with both pastor and people as they proclaim your gospel to their community. Lord, in your mercy. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have poured out your Spirit upon us that we might believe your truth and raise our sons and daughters in it. Bless all parents that they may faithfully catechize their children in your word, and bless all Lutheran schools as they support parents in this important task. And today we rejoice with the confirmation classes who are celebrating anniversaries this year. We ask you, Lord, to continue to strengthen the faith that was instilled in them years ago. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of might, preserve your people from their enemies, bring peace to the nations, and prosper the cause of life. Bless our leaders, especially our president, governor, Congress, legislature, and all judges and magistrates. Give them a relentless pursuit of just laws for the common good of all, with a heart of mercy for the weak and vulnerable. Be with all those who serve in the armed forces of our nation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your good gifts to us in this life, and we pray that you would keep us in your grace throughout our earthly days. Bless all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, especially Christopher, Aislinn, Keegan, Gita, Scott, Grayson, and Marsha. Help them to grow in love for you and for their neighbor more and more with each passing year. We also ask you to bless our homes and our families. Be with all married couples, especially those who are celebrating anniversaries, including Robert and Eunice Brink, Norman and Marlene Carey, Brendan and Megan Morris, and Larry and Carlene Rademeyer. Bless them mightily as the years go on. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of compassion, forget not the sick and the suffering. Grant them healing according to your will, especially all who are on our prayer list, those who are in care facilities, including Nancy, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Norma, Richard, Carlene, Helen, Jim, Imogene, Bessie, and Brian. And all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Daryl, Joan, Wayne, Amy, Patrick, Rebecca, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Millie, Bradley, Jamie Lynn, Wayne, Andrea, Gladys, Linda, Missy, Chris, Sam, Paula, and all those who are fighting cancer. Give them confidence that you know their need and will well supply them with all that they need to endure to the day of your coming, when all affliction will end, and you will grant the perfect consummation to us and to all who have loved your appearing. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of grace, your Son has come among us and given us the privilege of a place at his table. Prepare us to receive his body and blood with repentance and faith for our good and for the flowering in our lives of your holiness and righteousness. Nourish and feed us that in this holy communion we may be strengthened for your service. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, with your Son, Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word to rule and govern us according to your will. Comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us against every error, that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and good works, and trusting firmly in your grace for us by his death, obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now turn to the service of the sacrament, which is found beginning on page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Turn now to page 199, and we will sing together the words of the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is number 650, Holy Spirit, Ever Dwelling. Good morning. Well, the celebration of the Holy Spirit's work in the church continues later today. Our first announcement is that there will be an ordination and installation service for our member, Brett Jones, but their pastor after this afternoon, Trinity Lutheran in Hoffman. It'll be at 3 p.m. I'll be participating in the service as well as a number of the other local Lutheran pastors. And you're certainly invited to join us and to congratulate Brett and Beth and their children, Cameron and Ashley and Allison. And so what a blessing it is for them to be back in our area. There's also a few announcements here from Jane. She's got some pictures that need to be picked up, and they can be picked up during office hours, so please take note of that. If any of you ordered those, there's also an opportunity to order a yearbook from this past school year as well. A couple other quick things happening this week. This is the first Tuesday of the month coming up, which means it's time for Ladies' Aid. Their June meeting will be this Tuesday at 7 o'clock over in the Activity Center. And also, sort of related to Ladies' Aid, the LWML on the zone level is going to be hosting a summer women's Bible study, which is going to feature the book of Esther as its main topic this summer on Monday night, starting tomorrow. And actually, I've been invited as the LWML Zone Pastoral Counselor. I've been invited to lead the first session, so I'll be there tomorrow night. And then Deb Albers is going to be the one leading the rest of the sessions. So that will be from 6:30 p.m. until about 8 o'clock in the evening over at the gymnasium at Trinity and Hoffman. So if you're interested in joining the ladies, come and join us tomorrow night, and can join us the rest of the summer as well on Monday evenings. I think those are all the ones that I wanted to highlight. Are there other announcements that need to be made today? Okay, seeing none, then what we will do is we'll leave and have a blessed day and enjoy this beautiful weather. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week.
Have a blessed week.